So the first reading is Psalm 16, and it goes as follows. Keep me safe, my God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. I say of the holy people who are in the land, they are the noble ones in whom is all my delight. Those who run after other gods will suffer more and more. I will not pour out liberations of blood to such gods or take up their names on my lips. Lord, you alone are my portion and my cup. You make my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen from me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night my heart instructs me. I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad, and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure. Because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful ones see decay. You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. This is the word of the Lord.
The second reading is taken from Galatians 5. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm, then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. It is you, if you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. This is the word of the Lord.
Just pray for Helen now. Lord, we just thank you for the words that you've put on our heart this week. And Lord, may your Spirit speak through her this morning. May her words have power to open our hearts and minds to receive the message which you have for us today. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. In reading this passage from Galatians, I was struck by the question, what does it mean to live by the Spirit? I thought clearly it has to do with freedom and being set free. But it also implies that I can't just do what I want or what is right in my own eyes. And it also implies that there's a choice, that if I live by the Spirit, then I need to walk by the Spirit or keep in step with the Spirit in order not to gratify the desires of the flesh and in order to bear the fruit of the Spirit. Biblically, the concept of walking in the flesh is legalism. A person who's seeking to obey and please God, but doing it by focusing on commandments and rules. The Galatians had fallen into this trap. We are familiar with Luke 18:11-12, where the Pharisee stood up by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. Jesus' response in the next verse is, I tell you that all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all those who humble themselves will be exalted. In Matthew 15:7-9, Jesus also quoted Isaiah 29:13 when he said, you hypocrites, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. These people honour me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules, a trap we can so easily fall into. Flesh is also the old human nature. We have a list of the acts of the flesh in verse 19. And whilst we may want to dismiss many of them, we need to think carefully, for example, about such things as fits of rage or selfish ambition or jealousy or what constitutes modern-day idolatry, which can be good things such as our children or our job or our house, but still idolatry. Jesus was clear in John 15:5 when he said, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. When we abide in him, the Spirit is working in us, producing fruit. So we live our lives in the continual Spirit of God. But how do we do that? Once we are born again of the Holy Spirit, we have the Spirit living in us, and we really are new creations. The old really has gone, and the new really has come. 2 Corinthians 5:17. And Jesus has given us the means to bring grace into our lives. By focusing on Jesus and falling more and more in love with him, we have the ability to live a life by the Spirit and walking in it. But I've learned that I can't be 50-50. I can't be part in the Spirit and part in the flesh. At each point of every day, I could either be in the Spirit or in the flesh. In Mark 10:42-45, Jesus called them together and said, you know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. And Jesus has given us the grace to do this. My great test with servanthood is when I go to support my mother every other week. My mother is a remarkable woman. She's 98 years old. She's fully astute, but physically frail. She's had two falls. I had three sisters. I was brought up to be good. My father died when my mother was only 42. She had three children, aged 6 to 14. And she did the very best for us in ensuring that we had an education, that we could be creative, that we could follow what we wanted to do, and she supported us in that. But the discipline of the time was that we were required to know what wanted doing without being asked. And if we didn't fall into that bracket, she would use phrases like bring them to heel and the three-line whip. That didn't sit too well as a teenager. Three of us moved away. One of my sisters stayed close. She was my oldest sister, but sadly she died 3.5 years ago. So now my sisters and myself go on a rota basis to do everything for my mother to ensure that she can live in her house, looking after herself in the way that she can with the physical frailty that she has. It's fine. We do everything. And my mother is very grateful, and I love her dearly. But occasionally, the old ways come back. Just two simple examples. My mother still likes to be in charge. She still likes to lead meetings. She can't get out, so the meetings are at her house. And I'm told to bring in the coffee at 8 o'clock, which I do. I put the coffee on the side, and then the hand goes, "Light pour?" My response was, "Maybe some people at the meeting would like to pour the coffee," at which point several people all jump up to do it. There was another occasion. We were sitting in her sitting room, and out on the patio, she could see something out there. She said, "What's that? That's been out there for a long time." I said, "Well, it looks as though some animal's been up here and done something." "I want it removed." I thought to myself, good luck with that one. The old feelings from the past kick in, and my response is emotionally immature. And I thought to myself, it's fine while I'm being appreciated. But as soon as there's an expectation, as soon as somebody doesn't thank me, as soon as there's any sort of hint of get on with it and do it and don't expect, I have to ask you, like to do this, like to do that, I revert right back. And the realization came to me that I didn't mind being the servant, I just did not want to be treated like one. I was trying to be 50-50, 50% in the spirit, 50% in the flesh. Whenever I act in love, I'm now reminded that it cannot be in my own selfish strength. And I found 1 Peter 4:11 very helpful. It says, "Let him who serves serve in the strength which God supplies, that in everything God may have the glory." And then that becomes testimony, doesn't it? And so I looked at Psalm 16, and I saw here a model of living by the Spirit. Verses 1 and 2, "Keep me safe, my God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing." A picture of trust, assurance, confidence, and humility. And then verse 3, "I say of the holy people who are in the land, they are the noble ones in whom is all my delight." A picture of somebody in fellowship. Verse 4, "Those who run after other gods will suffer more and more. I will not pour out libations of blood to such gods or take up their names on my lips." A picture of someone who recognizes and shuns idolatry. Verses 5 and 6, "Lord, you alone are my portion and my cup. You make my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places." Someone who is full of praise and thankfulness and no negativity, which is so damaging. And then verse 7 and 8, "I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night my heart instructs me. I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand I will not be shaken." Someone who has a strong relationship with God, experiences his presence, and is counseled by God and his teaching. And then verses 9 to 11, "Therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices, my body also will rest secure, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful one see decay. You make known to me the path of life, you will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand." Someone who has assurance of eternal life and is looking forward to their eternal inheritance. Now, Psalm 16 is a psalm of David, but it's also regarded as a foreshadowing of Jesus, in whom its ideals and hopes were fulfilled, and through whom the identical hope awaits us. I think it's a lovely psalm to pray over our lives. And so I'm learning that love is the all-encompassing lifestyle of one who bears the fruit of the Spirit, who is led by the Spirit and walks by the Spirit, not looking to rules as justification or good works for assurance or to others for appreciation, but as one who has certainty by faith in Christ, who sees themselves as secure in Christ, one who's hungry for God's truth in the Bible, who is in fellowship with other Christians, and who abides in God's grace, in loving relationship with Him, and truly free. Thank you.